Hello, everybody. My name is Bunty. I'm here with my friend Rohit. Rohit, you're there?
I'm here, very much here, yeah.
Okay. Well, look, this is going to be an interesting one for us because we've wanted to get something like this going for a while. The idea is through the week we pick up on stories and media commentary that we found interesting. We bring it to each other's attention. And then we try and have a chat across it. So it's not rocket science. It's straightforward. That's what we'll try and do. And we hope you people listening to this have as much fun, enjoy listening to it as we do putting it together. Rohit, would you like to say something about
Sure, yeah. And this
this?
is we're trying to get let's call it a transcontinental perspective because Bunty's in London, I'm in San Francisco. And we are commenting both on the event itself as well as the coverage of the event. So our thoughts are going to really address both those issues. So this is a program that's going to be about what's happening in India and more broadly the Indian community globally. But also it is a commentary on how the media itself has been picking up on these events. And we are you're hoping to come at it from a particular angle that you find enjoyable, but we are certainly not claiming to be the final word on anything. So it's think of us as essentially contributing to an ongoing conversation about India and about media about India.
That's great. Yeah, that's the ambition. So should we kick off, Rohit? First story, what's on the menu
Yeah,
today?
let's go for it. So we have a few stories, and one of them is actually an interesting story, which I mean, well, it could have a humorous dimension to it, but it also sort of conceals or it also tells us something about, I'd say, labor inequality. It's about PhD guides, I believe, using postdocs to do their personal chores. That's one. We have another story about the India-Australia cricket series and the bad blood, the controversy about Smith and Kohli, the BCCI and the Australian Cricket Board. And then we have one about a mysterious a satellite, I think, that had gone missing, which an Indian satellite, which NASA miraculously managed to locate. And finally, we have something about the UP elections, about pollsters, and following which we know that there have been these remarkable results in UP with the BJP winning in a landslide. The last time around, the pollsters got it wrong, as did the pundits. This time, the pundits were sneering at the pollsters, but guess what? The pollsters got it right. So we've got these four stories, and Bunty, why don't you pick one and we can just take it from there.
Okay. Well, look. I think this is something that we picked up from Telegraph, which is based out of Calcutta, and the story that we picked up was actually have coming out of a little place a bit southern, a bit more south, Bhuvaneshwar, and yeah, as Rohit set it up, the. What was really interesting was basically these are a group of people who are training to be doctors, right? And what I thought was very odd was the Directorate of Medical Education and Training, DMET, as it's known, catchy name, has asked the professors and teachers of this medical college to refrain from harassing the medics. Now, that's a very nice way of very polite way of saying don't do something that is wrong. So the sense is there are 400 postgraduate students in these three medical colleges run by the state government, and these guys at DMET, which is the equivalent of the kind of the authority, the people in power, got a letter, anonymous letter, and basically it's. These students were doing domestic works. Now, domestic works is a catch-all, which includes bringing grocery items for professors, cooking their daily foods, and I'm just paraphrasing what we saw, what we are reading. Take children to school, manage various social events. I think the general lowness of this is that here are a bunch of people who are students, right, who have paid fees and are trying to get an education. And I think one of the things that I was drawn to in this was this whole kind of idea that, if you're being taught by somebody, you automatically take a subservient role. You almost take the role of a service provider. Obviously, this is embedded in kind of our Indian psyche that the teacher, whatever the, this is a whole kind of guru funda going on where you have to
Right.
chop off your finger to learn education. And this chopping off fingers to learn how to do archery has kind of morphed into doing grocery and supervising building projects. Actually, that is a category there, Rohit. They are saying that you also, some of the guys are supervising building projects. Now, I'm just thinking the tapestry of errands. You are an academic. Would you be in a position ever to ask any of your students to do errands for you? I think it's something unique to Orissa.
Well, there's two things. Well, first of all, this is completely outrageous, and I think I'm assuming that there are, I'm pretty sure there are laws on the books which prevent this from happening in India too. But as with India, we know that we have wonderful laws in any number of realm, but the problem really is enforcement. So I about your Orissa remark, I will say this though, that interestingly, when I many many moons ago started my career as a graduate student in the US, my university, which is sort of top rated research one in the US, the year before that, faculty members in my department had actually been hauled up and given a yelling, I believe, by the dean, precisely because they were using their research assistants for similar kind of work. To drop and pick up kids from school. Now in India, of course, we know that everything, anything untoward that happens tends to happen on on steroids, so to speak. So I wouldn't say it's sort of specific to Bhuvaneshwar or
No,
to
it's correct.
to Orissa. But it's I think in general the situation is such that the protections for students also are good in the US. Something like this would not fly. There would be a strong reaction. That said, even in the US there are other forms of labor exploitation. I know that excuse me, students and graduate students have also been, some graduate students in some universities have been trying to unionize, and some have been successful in claiming that they essentially provide cheap labor while faculty are able to carry out their research and so on and so forth. But again, this to an extent, I think you're right. I mean, it may have to do with a certain sort of Indian notion about authority, manifested in figures like teachers, but more broadly, anyone. It's also this notion of, the Indian boss, whether in Silicon Valley or in India, is renowned for being a sort of micromanager, as it were, right? Breathing over your shoulder. And I have so many friends and acquaintances who work in the tech industry in Silicon Valley, and they say that, they're Indians, and they say that having an Indian boss is kind of the worst experience you could have, because these lines are not respected, and they will call you in the middle of your dinner and so on and so forth. But yeah, and I've had other friends who started working in different industries, and they had the same experience. That I had a friend who started working as for some small studio, and his boss again was a kind of nightmarish guy who would really give him lousy jobs, like driving his son to Pune to drop him off to boarding school and so on. Or other people having to like take someone's dirty laundry and so on. So there's a sort of element of kind of, there's definitely an element of exploitation to this, and and I'm glad that there is, it's at least there's been a story about it, though I think there needs to be a sort of wider discussion.
Correct. And I think just stepping in there, Rohit, I think we are not saying that all Indian bosses are mean pieces of work. We are not saying Orissa is a bad place to pursue medical studies. It's just something that we've picked up on. And let me throw you the dates for the people who are listening. This is Telegraph coming out of Calcutta, Friday, 10th March. It's an article. And to in their defense, the medical college authorities have denied the allegations. And at this point, I will quote. At this point, I will quote. And this is what they are saying. We always guide our students and ensure that they study properly. Hang on, it goes on. We never ask them to do any of our personal works,
yeah.
right? We always maintain cordial relationship between student and teacher, said Rasanand Mangal, a surgery professor at the NKCG Medical College. So I think let's leave this one there, because you know, I think we've taken it in as many directions as we could. Very interested in what people comment. Rohit, why don't you talk a bit about this cricket thing that we picked up? And
So you know, it's pretty interesting, and I you know, I might find that I have a sort of range of different reactions to it. You know, on the one hand, you know, I think that it's a little rich for Australians to talk about, you know, bad behavior and Indians violating the spirit of the game and so on and so forth, right? Because, you know, we have a long history of Australian aggression, and everyone from Sunil Gavaskar to others have mentioned, you know, heckling, sledging on the field. And then the Australians tend to have a habit of sort of shrugging off their, you know, I think their own aggression as sort of sportsman spirit, not really sportsman spirit, but, you know, competitiveness, let me put it that way. Yeah, you know, this is just like the lads, lads being lads and so on and so forth. But they suddenly seem to be unusually sensitive about, you know, being at the receiving end. On the other hand, I will say this, that, you know, India is really the proverbial, whatever, like 800-pound, 800-ton gorilla. You know, we have this sort of dominant position in world cricket because we really are the source of most of its revenue, and we've become, you know, bullies. I will say this, though, that, you know, I like this new attitude that people like, you know, Kohli and others embody. Apparently, Kohli is quite renowned for, you know, having a foul mouth, which seems to have, he seems to have reinvented himself a little bit, and you know, comes across as a little more polished and sophisticated, which, you know, may be the sort of influence of, you know, his I think Bollywood actress fiance, and you know, he and you know, in a, on a less facetious, less flippant note, he's. You know, he also seems to have this sort of laser kind of focus about fitness, which I've never seen in any Indian player before. But this newfound, you know, aggression, I think it's a good thing. And, you know, the whole situation has gotten a bit messy with the boats getting involved. But otherwise, I'm, you know, I don't, I think he's, you know, I think he's doing the right thing, because by not backing down in and by leveling the series, India now has a kind of, you know, a momentum in this series. And you know, you and I, we are around the same, you know, age. And you remember that from the time we were kids, the memory of countless series watching India get beaten, and, you know, very meekly and tamely beaten. So it's nice to see this other kind of, you know, side. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to, you know, draw some of the conclusions that some of the more like facile commentary tends to draw, not articles, not the particular article in I'm talking about, but, you know, that this is a new globalized India, a new assertive India, and so on and so forth. That I think is over and through. But but in general, I, you know, it sort of adds spice to the game, and you know, we don't come across you know, like the stereotypes of sort of the meek pushover Indians that that one saw, you know, barring an odd Kapil Dev here or there, when one was growing up in the black and white era of cricket.
That is so true. That is so. You know, I think, Rohit, this is a very interesting article, because it picks up on this whole, you know, fight fire with fire, fight aggression with aggression. I don't know. I mean, I think Virat Kohli as a captain is in this is a very different type of aggression. Dhoni is more like less displayed. You know, his emotions were very well contained.
Right.
But at the same time, he had he could also be known as a person who wouldn't back down. You know,
right.
he would lead people into battle. Ganguly, on the other hand, with his kind of gimmicks, he kind of set the ball rolling.
Right.
Of, you know, not looking up. But I think Ganguly's aggression came from this kind of entitled upper middle class rich gentry, tu kya kar lega type vibes. which is very, very much in contrast with, how Dhoni took people on, which is like, I know I'm a small town guy. I started out from nowhere. But I know where I'm headed, and that kind of a that's I found that confidence very appealing. The Kohli, I think he's very demonstrative. He brings out 100, maybe with a certain degree of young econ, but cricket and aggression.
I have lost you, Bunty.
Because I think, his way of dealing with adversity and dealing with difficult situations had a certain something about it. And I think it's, I don't want to get twist this into some kind of class commentary, but I think if you're from a middle class milieu where you realize that, you can't be doing too much halla, you have to play with the cards that have been dealt. Rahul Dravid had a lot. For me, I mean, I picked up a lot from him in terms of public demeanor and how you deal with stress. So, and I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm saying that these four people that we've thrown into the mix on the back of this article are very different people, have very different strengths, and all of them have fans. And we'd love to hear from what our listeners think about this. But yeah, I'm glad that Australians are on the back foot on this one, because those guys for the last 50 years they've been giving it a lot. And I think, to your point, Rohit, this gorilla comment, I think it's good that for India, this at least for the sports market in India.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me? You still there?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, you just faded out for a little bit. So I've actually just started a second
Oh.
file. But yeah,
Are you?
I think it's good. I think it's nice. It's a good thing. For us to be a kind of leader in one sport at least, and we know that the IPL, for instance, and so on and so forth. One second. Sorry.
I've got back, Rohit. I had
Okay.
dropped off the call for a little while,
Okay, yeah,
but
no worries. So yeah, I completely agree with you. And just very quickly, before we move on to our next story, I remember reading, perhaps it was Harsha Bhogle, I'm not sure, saying that there have only been two non like till the till Ganguly, he said there have just been two non-parochial captains in Indian cricketing history. The first was Patowdy, and the second was Sourav Ganguly. And that I remember reading that, and actually, I mean, once the observation was made, it seemed really to ring true, because I think of some of those teams under Kapil Dev, they were full of North Indian mediocrities, and then we know about the Bombay lobby, of course. And I think Ganguly was a really important turning point. I mean, moment that's etched in my memory is Ganguly swinging his shirt in Lords, right? After we won, what was it, the NatWest Trophy, I
Yep.
believe. So yeah, and I think,
Yes.
yeah, it'll be so it'll be all right. And perhaps I'm on cricket more than other things. I'm biased. I'm not as devoted a follower as I used to be. But the it's an old love that that doesn't really die, and one can get back into it very quickly. So I think. I don't think India needs to be particularly apologetic about anything we've done with regard to the Australians.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right about that. Chalo, what's next? What's next? What's the next one that you're picking up?
Okay, let's talk about the let's go from the cricket field to the realm of Star Wars and outer space and so on. So there was this is the article that you sent, which is very interesting, about a satellite ISRO had launched, which had apparently been lost somewhere in the recesses of space, and then NASA used some like remarkable techniques and technology to locate it, right?
Yeah. You know, what drew me to this article was the fact there was one word, lost. I thought that it's really interesting Because when we are at home, we lose our keys, we lose our wallet, we lose our phone. But losing a satellite, that's next level shit, isn't it? I mean, it just takes the cake. So that's the reason why I put that article up. And I think what is very interesting, the two comments I'd make is one of the things that is really remarkable is India's space program. A lot has been written about it. A few days back, we I think sent a rec the we sent a record number of kind of satellite payloads via ISRO.
110 or something like that. And I believe New York Times made a snarky remark, or I don't know if they were being snarky when they said that many of them were like pint-sized, or they were just being descriptive. But as is our wont, Indians got very upset with our characteristic post-colonial oversensitivity, and I remember seeing a good bit of outrage about that on Twitter.
I mean, I think we should be really proud of our kind of space heritage, the fact that we are in a position to launch these really cool devices up into the sky. My question here is, how do you lose something like this? How do you lose something so big and so expensive? Because it's not loose change. That is what threw me when I sent this article. So I don't have a mega point to make on this one, apart from the fact that it's hugely curious and funny that you could lose an entire satellite and then find it. I guess in the vastness of space. But then again, you think that these things were not random at a great distance. There was some guy who had spent all his life, who was really good at maths and spent all his life calculating the kind of parabola and the trajectory, whatever they call it. And so I just think this is an interesting story that no matter how big the scale of the challenge, the most commonplace thing can happen. You can lose it. You can lose it. What do you think?
Well, I would say that, we have a history of losing things, right? To begin with, we lost a subcontinent, right, in 1857, or sorry, 1757, Battle of Plassey, right? So we lost India. So, I mean, if you can lose India, then, a satellite is like small stuff, right? And then, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here
Sorry,
listening.
I just so we lost a continent, and then in India, when you think about it, like think of all the things that get lost, like file on Babri Masjid implicating Advani, it's lost, right? Witnesses get lost also, right, in all kinds of cases. So in that sense, we are historic losers, right, in many kinds of ways. So then we just lost one more thing. So in some ways it's an old Indian tradition, and I sort of it also kind of reminded me of something else. When I read about NASA being the agency that located it, it reminded me of the fact that post 47, with the non-aligned movement and sort of Nehru's vision and all of that, and our mixed economy and whatever the sort of dominant ideology of the time was, we aligned with the Soviet Union. But when we had a famine, it was. It was actually America that helped us, right?
Right.
With food. So, I don't know. It's sort of like, we come across maybe as like we've got this slight tradition of being these like petulant kids, and then you go running to, like Sam Chacha when things get difficult. But yeah, that was just, again, that was the only point I had to really make about that.
Okay, let's look at the biggie, the big one in our conversation today. Clearly, the UP elections, Rohit. That's something that's keeping everybody up. It's a very, very it's the largest state with the largest population, and is a center of gravity for Indian politics. Again, this is not a political show, but at the same time, if stuff comes up in public discussion discourse, we try and pick it up. So yeah, what's with this story, Rohit, the UP polls one?
Oh, well, just tons of stuff, really. First of all, yeah, completely stunning victory. Every hindsight is 2020. Everyone's an expert. A lot of the experts got the earlier, big election, another big state, Bihar, sort of completely wrong. A lot of people this time had predicted a BJP wave, but a lot of other people, experts, hadn't. And this time, the pollsters got it absolutely right. But again, people are interpreting it in a wide variety of ways. Some people see it as a referendum on demonetization, saying that Modi's message resonated with the masses, as it were. Other people see it as a reflection of Modi's charisma, and certainly he is a leader with a powerful personality. And for better or worse, Rahul Gandhi, as the face of the Congress, doesn't quite seem to be able to keep up to that. My only thoughts are, as someone who's had family live in Ghaziabad for the better part of 2 decades, till quite recently, I see it as an anti-incumbency vote partly, and I also see it as kind of a reaction to the pervasive criminalization of life in UP under the Samajwadi Party. Now, of course, the BJP has as many people, or close to the same number of people, I believe, or it has a significant number of people with criminal records. Same with the Bahujan Samaj Party, but people do mention that law and order was better under Mayawati. But I'll just give you a small incident. My parents, for instance, when they were in UP and their passports had expired, this guy. They needed to get the passport renewed, right? And you have the police check. So the police officer very graciously came over home because they were senior citizens. So, and instead of taking 500 rupees each, he said, I will give you a, senior citizen discount and a 50% discount. And he took 250 rupees each. Now, my mother had warned my father that, my father has.
This was bribe, or this was
It is.
just a traditional.
No, this is bribe. It is a bribe and a
Oh,
tradition. It is a
so there's
tradition.
a discount on bribe. Okay, fine.
Oh,
This
now the
is
discount
okay.
on bribe, whether that was a tradition, I don't know. But हाँ, आप सीनियर सिटीजन हैं, तो आपके लिए
अच्छा
500, इंस्टेड ऑफ 500 पर हेड, 250 पर हेड. एंड इंस्टेड ऑफ मेकिंग सीनियर सिटीजन चार्ज ऑल द वे टू सम सॉर्ट ऑफ पुलिस स्टेशन विद असॉर्टेड क्रिमिनल्स हैंगिंग अराउंड, आई विल कम टू योर हाउस. बट एक्सपेक्टेशन वॉज देयर. देर वॉज चाय, देर वॉज बिस्किट, देर वॉज लिटिल बिट नमकीन, हल्दीराम भुजिया. And now my father, by and large, has never taken bribes. Well, I shouldn't say by and large, he's never taken a bribe in his life. Mother is more practical, never made a taken a bribe, never given a bribe. Mother is slightly more practical person. Here and there, 50 rupees, 100 rupees has been given to traffic cop. Mother had warned my father.
Facilitation. It
So
is facilitation.
facilitation. And once my mother, I think mom had too much luggage on Rajdhani, straight away she offered a bribe to the person checking, and he said, "Madam, I can put you in jail." So mother was chasing. So anyway, women being more practical, mom told my dad that you will not give this man a lecture about corruption and honesty. Pay the 250 rupees. We have to go and see our children in the US. So that is a normal state of UP, but I think it took a much sort of more savage turn, and I think it was basically Yadav Raj. I know that Akhilesh tried to dial back things, but I don't know how successful he was. Now it may very well be the case that criminality will still continue, because there's actually been a very good book written by a scholar about this on criminality in Indian politics. But the BJP played the narrative and the perception game very well. So yeah, so those are my scattered thoughts on the matter.
Well, I where I'll pick up on this again, I haven't been following the elections closely, but I realize that it's an important election, and obviously a shout out to all the people who have been campaigning and doing their best to get their kind of respective politicians elected. And on this one, the results are out, the results are resounding. The BJP has won the democratic mandate of that state, and well done to that party and the leadership. What I and the reason I'm taking a dispassionate view about this is because on the basis of the show is not to kind of push in one political direction or the other. We live, I think, in a grown-up democracy, and that's what just happened. And I think on the politics of it, if I do have to make a comment, I always thought that I was thinking, I think it was 1983, 84, when Rajiv Gandhi's Congress Party was taking on VP Singh. I think maybe I'm mixing the dates. And there was this brilliant election poster that had been done by some folks in Rediffusion, YNR. It's an advertising agency. And on the one hand, there was this Rajiv Gandhi with his hands in a namaste. And then the other hand, there was this stack of politicians from an assortment of parties who were coming together almost as a anything but Rajiv, the Congress. And they called it Dhamukabla. That was the poster, right? There was this Congress guy, and then there's a stack of other assortment of politicians with different interests who were just brought together by the fact that they didn't want this guy in power.
Right.
And I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I think the Congress and the Samajwadi Janata Party or Janata Dal are not, you know, not usual bedfellows. So all of a sudden, when you, you know, no matter how you what you think of the electorate, you put yourself together as two political sons, basically, of two political dynasties, getting together, shaking hands with a view of putting up a credible opposition. I think that's where this one fell down. I take your points completely about the criminalization, and you know, probably it's equally true of both these parties. I also picked up commentary in the lead up to the election that there was people within media. I think the whole election punditry has been done a massive disfavor, because I remember when Pranay Roy in his NDTV early days, when he came up with this idea that, you know, I'm going to try and give you a sense of how this election race is going to go. It was a very innocent time. All he was trying to do was to call it as people would say it as they'd walk out of the booth. Nowadays, that has become an electioneering tool,
exactly,
where people use opinion polls to start kind of haranguing people into voting one way or the other. And I just, I thought that was really, really, you know, dark. But anyway, look, that's the elections, that's done. And so I think this is our first kind of aim at doing this. We've talked about PA, doctoral students in students training to be doctors in Orissa. We've talked about cricket and aggression. We've talked about, you know, lost spaceships and how easy it is to lose things. And finally, we've talked about elections being won and lost. So I think that's a fair kind of tapestry of what we've tried to do. We'll try and come back to doing more of this every week. Keep we'll figure out a way of with comments, etc. Hope you've enjoyed it. I guess that's enough from me. Rohit, do you have anything to say in closing?
No, that's about it. It was like a lot of fun. And I think, yeah, excellent. And, you know, we hope to sort of expand, get some more voices in, and maybe further down the line, we can, you know, get to interview people and the from India and other places, or experts on India. And yeah, the sky's the limit. But hopefully, you know, we won't get lost in space like that satellite. So,
so on nice that, one. Nice one.
Gentle one. Okay. So on that note, let me just, you know, I'm going to pause the recording and
okay.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week. One, two, three.